Our next item is going to be the... Sure. And Elvis just walked in, Mr. Jeff Young. So item 19 is our watershed management and planning, and it is to consider a resolution of adopting the Santa Barbara County Local Area Management Program, also known as LAMP, for implementation of a state on-site wastewater treatment system, a policy resolution number R3-2015-0037. So let's see, do we have staff to do additional introductions at this time? Mr. Harvey?
Hi, this is Harvey Packard. Howard Cole will be making a presentation on the LAMP. So we'll start with Howard.
Very good.
Good morning, Chairman Wolf, members of the board. My name is Howard Kolb. I am staff in the WDR unit. My area of responsibility is Santa Barbara County, and then I also do LAMPs for the region-wide. Today we are here to consider the Santa Barbara County Local Agency Management Program, and on the agenda it says local area, but I want to assure you it's the Local Agency Management Program. Before we go on with the County Local Agency Management Program discussion, I would like to give a little bit of background on the policy that brought us here today. We are regulating on-site wastewater treatment systems using septic systems, and it's primarily for on-site wastewater disposal of domestic water that uses subsurface disposal. Okay, why aren't I going forward? Sorry, a little technical difficulty there. There we go. Today, we're going to discuss right now the OTS policy. That's the water quality control policy for siting, design, operation, and maintenance of on-site wastewater treatment systems. In those last four words, that's where the term OTS comes from, standing for on-site wastewater treatment systems. The policy was adopted by the State Board in June of 2012, became effective in May of 2013, and was amended into our basin plan on May 30th of 2013. The purpose of the policy is to allow the continued use of on-site wastewater treatment systems or septic systems while protecting water quality and public health. It's applicable to anybody who owns a septic system. It's applicable to local agencies that permit septic systems or supplemental treatment like a county or a city. It's applicable to the Water Board because we're required to incorporate it into our basin plan, and as well as it's a State Board policy. The requirements of the OTS policy, it establishes a minimum set of requirements for permitting, monitoring, and operation of on-site wastewater treatment systems, supplemental systems, and things like that. It is a risk-based tiered approach for the regulation of septic systems and recognizes the effectiveness of local agencies in permitting and managing these systems. It's a five-tier policy. Unfortunately, the first tier is tier zero, so when you think about it, it'll only go up to tier four. Tier zero is for existing systems that are properly functioning. Tier one is if you're going to build a new system or replace it. And I want to stress that tier one applies to everyone who does not develop a LAMP. And tier one is bulletproof in a certain kind of way. For example, in Santa Barbara County, it would for a new system, you would be required to have somewhere between 1.5 and 2 acres if you were going to be able to build under the Tier 1 level. It limits flows to 3,500 gallons per day, whereas under a LAMP you could go up to 10,000 gallons per day. And it limits slope to 25% or less. So that's what's in place for any local agency that does not adopt a LAMP. Tier 2 of the policy is the actual language that allows a local agency to develop a LAMP, local agency management program. And then Tier 3 is for systems that are in a TMDL identified water. And I want to stress to the board that you actually have to be identified in the OTS policy, and the only area identified in the OTS policy under Tier 3 is Rincon Creek. That doesn't mean we won't be applying similar criteria for water bodies that are identified by the water board as impacted for TMDLs, but under the conditions of the policy, only Rincon Creek is affected by Tier 3. And then Tier 4 is corrective actions. So all of the tiers apply to everyone except Tier 2 is elective. Let me point out that local agency managed program is Tier 2 of the policy again. It allows local agencies to address local conditions. Under the way it's set up right now, the counties or the cities or any local agency must submit a draft LAMP to the water board by May of 2016. Then staff has up to 2018 to approve those LAMPs. The county of Santa Barbara decided after reviewing the policy that they would like to develop a LAMP, and we brought progress reports to this board in July and November of 2014, keeping you up to date on what was happening with the county's LAMP development. Now, I'm going to go into the county LAMP right now, but every once in a while I'm going to drift back out and say this is an OTS policy issue, because everything that the county of Santa Barbara is doing is consistent with the OTS policy, and it is actions that other counties or other local agencies will have to comply with if they want to develop a LAMP. So the county LAMP addresses primarily two sections of the OTS policy. That's Section 3, local agencies' requirements and responsibilities, and Section 9, which is the details of how they're going to manage their systems. And the county has proposed a program that's compatible with the OTS policy. Under Section 3, the local agencies are required to do annual reporting. This includes the number and location of complaints pertaining to OTS operation, any kind of maintenance and identification of those systems and where they were investigated and how that was resolved by the local agency. It also includes tracking of applications and registrations issued as part of the local program. It also includes the number, location, description of permits issued for new versus replacement systems, and which tier the permit was issued under. And what I mean by that is, although these are all under Tier 2, the development of the LAMP, they're going to let us know whether it's a Tier 4, they had a problem corrective, or whether it's Tier 3, it's part of a TMDL action. By developing a LAMP, it doesn't preclude the local agency from using portions or all of Tier 1 of the OTS policy, but what a LAMP actually does is it allows the local agency to develop things that are more progressive than would be allowed under Tier 1. Section 3 also requires tracking of permitting actions, and they will maintain these records, and they'll be available for water board staff should we want to review them. Section 9 of the OTS policy has all the detailed requirements that the local agencies must comply with, and it contains minimum standards that they must achieve, and this is if they're going to do something different in design or the difference in density. For example, I'll get to that in just a second. or different requirements, that's all contained in Section 9, what they can and cannot do. It also includes the scope and coverage, the design of the systems, how they're going to do site evaluation. Section 9 includes a water quality assessment program. They're going to determine the general operational status of on-site systems. They're going to evaluate the impacts of those on-site systems. In the case of the county, they have proposed to use as their monitoring stations, water systems for the county that have less than 200 connections, so smaller water systems. And then they're going to be assessing groundwater and local surface water conditions associated with the use of OTS. The Section 9 also contains prohibitions that they cannot include. For example, you can't have a cesspool. You can't discharge more than 10,000 gallons per day. There's no above surface discharge, and there's minimum setbacks from public wells. And there's other prohibitions, but those are just some examples. Section 9 also sets reporting dates. So Section 3 said you have to report. Section 9 says the annual report must be submitted by February 1, and then every 5 years they'll submit an evaluation of their monitoring program, and that includes the assessment and impacts to water quality. Above and beyond the OTS policy, this board added a LAMP completeness checklist, and as I was going through the county's LAMP, they are referring to Tier 1. They're referring to the plumbing code. They're referring to their own ordinance. So if you look at this LAMP completeness checklist, it cross-references for the uninitiated, so you can find out why they're doing what they're doing and what section of code, and you can go actually look at the actual code. So it was very helpful for me because as I was reviewing, they would say, well, that's in the plumbing code, and I go, well, how's anybody supposed to know that? And they were very amenable, and we developed that, and we're actually going to require that for all future LAMPs with other counties. This board also required, similar with Tier 3, which is for surface water impairments, we added two paragraphs to the LAMP that address on-site wastewater treatment systems in degraded groundwater basins. This is a progressive piece of language in a plan, and it's actually stimulated talks across the state, and there is a meeting being held by Tim O'Brien. He's the WDR coordinator for the state, and we're going to be talking about these kinds of things in December. Chris Adair is our WDR coordinator for the office, and he was at a round table a month and a half ago, and I was able to sit in on that, and we actually discussed what we were doing in the language, and everybody's pretty interested in taking this statewide. Again, the Santa Barbara County LAMP addresses all the required sections of the OTS policy. It contains requirements for new and replacement on-site wastewater disposal, and it does propose some alternative methods from Tier 1 while still being protective of water quality and public health. And on September 1st, the County Board of Supervisors approved the county LAMP, which is before you today. I do want to talk briefly about some what an alternative method means to the county. So for example, the OTS policy Tier 1 requires certain lot size. The county may allow lots that are smaller than what you can use under Tier 1. So for example, the 2-acre minimum, if they allowed a 1-acre lot, they would also require supplemental treatment. That supplemental treatment would have to be permitted by the county. That permit would have to be renewed every 5 years. As part of the renewal, the permittee must provide proof of inspection and performance as required by the manufacturer. In addition, the owner must file a notice to property owner That way, when the property changes hands, the new owners will be notified about the supplemental treatment system. Similarly, the LAMP may allow seepage pits, which aren't allowed under Tier 1. Again, supplemental treatment would be required. Same permitting constraints in terms of they have to file the notice to property owner. They have to document that they've had it inspected and that it is performing. If the county has someone come in to renew their system and they have not done the inspections and they cannot show proper performance, they start an administrative fines procedure and they will inspect as necessary, and then they have the ability to shut that system down or require repair, and they can actually even put that on the tax bill if necessary. They have that ability. Now, there's a little subplot in that the LAMP is a countywide LAMP, but there are areas within the county that have jurisdiction for on-site wastewater systems that are not part of the county LAMP. So, for example, Mission Canyon in the city of Santa Barbara or Hope Ranch in the city of Santa Barbara are managed by the city, and the city has jurisdiction over those areas. We sent out a letter several months ago to all those areas saying either you need to develop a LAMP or you're going to have to comply with Tier 1 of the policy. And then we added a third piece where we said, if not, you can craft an agreement with a local agency, somebody who has a local agency management plan for coverage. The city of Santa Barbara is actually in discussion with the county to develop that kind of language, and we hope to have, the county hopes to have that ironed out in the next 6 months, and then they will begin doing the on-site management for the city of Santa Barbara. I've also contacted the city of Santa Maria, and I'll continue to contact all the local agencies in Santa Barbara, telling them you either have to develop a LAMP, or you're going to be complying with Tier 1, or you have to craft this agreement. My recommendation to the board is to adopt resolution 0037 as written. I want to point out that the policy is complex and that the county has done a diligent job of addressing all the issues in the OTS policy. And I also want to point out that this has been something that the Water Board has been working on since the 80s. Our 1994 basin plan identified areas in Santa Barbara that needed an on-site wastewater management plan. County staff has come forward with various iterations, but it has never made it past the County Board of Supervisors before, and I credit the state OTS policy with being that final push for the county to bring us a LAMP. And it's not very often that I get to bring something that I've been working on for 20 years in front of the board and ask for approval. Any questions?
Let's see, I'll start on my left with Mr. Johnston.
Yeah, just a couple of quick questions, and a comment first. You know, I know we had a pretty extensive discussion about this LAMP when we were meeting in Santa Barbara, and I think it was a little kind of surprisingly contentious at the time. So it's a real pleasure to see that, you know, all the issues that were raised have basically been really dealt with, and our staff and the county staff have really worked together on this, and kudos. Just a couple of quick questions. I was a little confused when you talked about alternate method permitting. I thought you said that they had to be re-permitted every 5 years.
They will have a permit that is in place over those 5 years, but they have to come in for a renewal every 5 years.
Okay, because the slide said it was re-permitted annually. That was what confused me.
Okay, I may have made an error there. Do you remember which slide you were looking at?
Let's see, alternate method.
There we go.
It's the last line, right?
Oh,
to
yeah.
get an annual
county
permit.
County will require treatment be permitted no, annually. Well, the, I should have said inspected annually.
Okay.
Condition with the permit.
Okay, so I see. So it's a 5-year renewal, but it's an annual inspection.
Well, not on the part of the county, but on the part of the property owner.
On the part
owner.
Of the property owner.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. That makes sense. And the other question I had, and I was a little confused, you talked about Rincon Creek being the only referenced impaired water body. Is that because it's referenced in the statewide policy? I was confused
correct.
As to what you were saying.
That's correct. When the yachts policy was developed, they pulled from I don't know exactly which TMDL list, but those were the water bodies that had specifically septic systems identified as an impairment to water quality. If the TMDL doesn't specifically identify on-site wastewater disposal as a contributor, then it wasn't listed in the policy. That's not to say that we haven't listed a lot of water bodies as impacted from nutrients, and we still haven't completed our evaluation to identify that. Did you want to add something? Okay. Does that make sense?
It does. And as I understand it, a part of this policy of this LAMP that was a subject of discussion when we were down in Santa Barbara in dealing with areas that have some endemic problems with on-site wastewater treatment systems, Los Olivos being one example, is that if the regional board designates an area as having, I don't remember the terms of art, but as having groundwater problems related to septic systems, that then the county will take further steps to put together a plan to deal with it. Is that correct?
That is correct, and it's if we designate a basin as either threatened or impaired. So if we can show trends towards increasing nitrogen or increasing impacts from bacteria to groundwater, or if we can actually show impairment.
Okay, and staff's, obviously by staff's recommendation that we approve this policy, staff feels that that's sufficiently protective to and gives us and the county sufficient tools to deal with these problem areas as they're identified and documented.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mayor Delgado.
Yeah. Thank you, Howard, for all your work on this. The is it true that most of the odds are septic systems? That's the bulk of what we're talking about.
Yes.
But there are other on-site wastewater treatment systems that are not your backyard septic systems, right?
Yeah, we actually still have cesspools out there.
And I'm thinking of the larger, I mean, how many on-site wastewater treatment systems are there that are more sophisticated than your backyard cesspool or septic system?
You know, I'd have to defer to the county for the actual number, but we regulate some on-site. For example, Dunn School has and you'll be seeing that WDR here in the next, hopefully, 6 to 8 months, a revision of that. But they have an advanced treatment system that can treat up to 30,000 gallons a day, and it's with subsurface disposal and nitrogen treatment. We have another facility up in Cambria that you will probably see for different reasons that uses the same system. So that we have them in and around the region. We have a number of them.
Right. Now, is the driver for the LAMP to improve over time basically your backyard septic systems?
Absolutely.
Even though they're not the only thing, the only kind of system that's covered by the LAMP. They're the driver.
I'm not sure exactly what you're driving at. What and let me re-paraphrase and see if I get it. The policy addresses all on-site wastewater disposal, whether it's in your backyard or whether it's a conventional septic system or whether it's has supplemental treatment. Up to 10,000 gallons will be under the county control.
Okay, so I'm having a hard time figuring out whose septic system needs the exception of being sited on less than 2 acres. So if I have a septic system on less than 2 acres, and to do that, a new one, let's say, I need to treat it prior to discharge, what's a real life example of what I might have to do to treat that?
Well, let's take Mission Canyon in Santa Barbara, very steep terrain. So even if you have 2 acres, it might be so steep that you have to put in something like a seepage pit or some other deep type of disposal. And because of the impacts or potential impacts to water quality, we would require supplemental treatment that would reduce the BOD suspended solids and nitrogen so we could protect groundwater.
And what might be one of those supplemental treatments?
Oh, there's a variety of them, but in general, they're systems that oxidize the wastewater. So they pump in oxygen, they grow a bacteria.
I think, Howard, what you're getting at is these are engineered like package plants in many cases. So they're above, they would be like above ground treatment before it's disposed of in the seepage pit.
So would it be for a neighborhood or a street?
Individual homes, you can have them for individual homes too.
Okay.
Yeah, they're biological treatment with recirculation, and they're designed by an engineer, and the best way to do it is usually have some sort of flow equalization before you get into the treatment system, because Mr. Harris said, they are a package treatment system, and they're designed by an engineer to get a certain amount of flow, so you run equalization and then keep feeding it.
Okay. All right. On page 3 of the staff report, under number 3, countywide groundwater monitoring, it says that the staff encouraged the county to consider a countywide groundwater monitoring program, but the county's proposed groundwater monitoring program does not propose to use all the data sources identified in the various sections of our OTS policy. Can you summarize why the county didn't?
I can say that what they chose to do was look at available sources that are currently under their regulation. So they regulate these small water systems with less than 200 connections. So they already are getting that data on a regular basis. One of the issues that Water Board staff had was many of those systems, when they site their wells, they look to site them outside of the influence of any impact from humans. They site them up gradient from development. They site them deep. And so sometimes these wells might be 200, 400, 600 feet deep. And if you're looking at something that's discharging within the top 20 feet, by the time it gets down to 200 or 300 feet, it's canary in the coal mine kind of thing. Your groundwater's already impacted. So what we were encouraging the county to do was include shallow groundwater monitoring as they move forward with the plan. Staff recognize the cost, and as a first cut effort, what they're proposing does achieve a level of monitoring, but we would certainly like to see shallow groundwater monitoring occur over the life of the program.
But I guess I should phrase this more as a question. Is there anything in the LAMP that requires the county to ramp up toward that end result?
Sort of. The language that we put in identifying degraded groundwater basins, the counties are required to come up with an advanced groundwater management plan, and that plan has to be approved by the Water Board and staff. And so when we identify those, we will probably encourage the county to do additional shallow groundwater monitoring in those areas. So over time, I think we can build a program for the county.
So does that put the onus on the regional board to find, through whatever means, a degraded water body, tell the county, and then the county then would do an advanced program to address that?
Yes.
Does that make more sense than the onus on the county being responsible to find those problem areas that are caused by OTS that they're regulating?
The strength of the regional water board and the ability of the state to direct can sometimes be more effective than local agencies trying to do that themselves. And that's how we've approached this, that we are the regulatory agency and we will identify those and we will put in place the language and the management actions that need to be there so that the county can accomplish that.
Okay, thank you. My last question is that because you've put a lot of time into this, you know more than probably anyone about this from our perspective, our board's perspective. So I wanted to ask you, as sort of the author or the lead person for us, what do you see as its greatest weakness, this lamp?
That's a profound question.
And that was a great answer.
One of the difficulties with on-site wastewater disposal and with any operation that we regulate is that we have a transient population. You can educate 100 people, and within 5 years, 20 have left and 20 new ones are in place. So the management actions and the behavioral changes that we need to make as a society are chronically evolving. It's not like adoption of the lamp is the end. This is actually the beginning of a long-term management strategy for the county. And we chronically have to be re-educating, working with the public, and quite frankly, you know, a property owner doesn't really want to deal with septic on a general level. They just want to go home and have a relaxing evening. They don't want to go out and pump the tank. So our job is to help them design systems that don't fail, that protect water quality, and that meet the conditions. So I think it's that transient nature of the individuals we're trying to manage under this program is the most difficult component and probably the weakest link.
All right, I do have one other question. Instead of asking you what this plan does about that greatest weakness, which maybe I'll ask you that some other time offline, there seems to be some very commendable efforts taken by the county over decades to get a handle on the data, to get a GIS tracking system so that the locations of a good majority of the septic systems are known. And they've done some assessment consultant reports, I suppose, that were pretty comprehensive that ended up having some recommendations about how to fix the problems that were found during these extensive surveys. Yet the recommendations it said in this report, in this document we have in front of us today, the executive summary of the 2003 sanitary survey, says that those earlier 90s recommendations had not yet been implemented, and it made me think that probably they were expensive and the county was strapped for resources, and so they never took the steps that were deemed appropriate by a very comprehensive address of this issue. And so I guess my question is, you know, are we just in another cycle, or do you have confidence that this time around there will be implementation to address the actions deemed reasonable in this lamp?
Yes, but let me elaborate just a little bit. The county has pursued different, they've done a Los Olivos wastewater management plan, and just in 2014 they looked at some alternatives for sewering the area, and I haven't reviewed all those documents in detail, but I have reviewed them, and the county is continuing to push forward. But again, this goes back to the identification of these impaired areas and the strength of this board to put that language into the lamp and to require that we do our job to identify those areas and push it to that next step. There's a lot of competing interests at the various levels of county and state government that want different results from our efforts, and I think by the water board saying no, it's threatened or impaired and you must address this, it will be the Sisyphus will be at the top of the hill. You know, it'll push it over and the counties will be able to comply, because county staff will be able to turn around and say, hey, this is mandated by the water board, we have to do this. And so it gives us a lot of strength. So I think that the playing field's changing.
Okay. Thank you for all your work on this, Howard.
Thank you.
Mr. Young.
Thank you, Dr. Wolf. So just following up with that discussion, once the Water Board declares a basin threatened or impaired, then the county must take steps to correct whatever is causing the systems to be failing and causing the threatened impaired status.
Yes.
So there has to be some physical change with the on-site systems such that they are improving the quality of their discharge.
Yeah, the county would prepare some sort of document that would say this is what we're going to do, and if it did not include change in behavior and it came to me, I would conclude that it's not going to change water quality. So it would have to be something new, different, creative. Because, I mean, the Alamo Pintado watershed, which contains Los Olivos, Ballard, Jan and Acres, there are wells that are above the drinking water standard. The community of Los Olivos has been using porta potties to remove load from their watershed since the 80s. We have record of systems being replaced every 10 years. We know things are going on. Groundwater is moving down that basin, and we see impacts in the basin. So I think what the LAMP and this language will do, it just sets the bar higher and says, okay, we've given you since and I credit the board at being very reasonable. We've given the county since 1994 to voluntarily develop an on-site wastewater management plan, and the OTS policy that came online in 2012 said, okay, now we're mandating it. And the county, to their credit, is the first one in our region. I think it's the second one in the state. I think San Diego has a LAMP in place already. I have to confirm that with a phone call. But we're on the forefront, and the county's taking it very seriously.
Well, I think Mr. Fay deserves the credit, you know, for that, for taking the bull by the horns and kind of steering it through.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So as far as the Los Olivos area that you just described for us, what is your time frame for reviewing information and coming to a decision whether to designate that basin as threatened or impaired?
I work at the pleasure of Mr. Harris, and if he identifies that that's where my time will be spent, I'm happy to do that.
So as we described in the pre-briefs, we wanted to get through the board adoption process, and then we will sit down and set forth a plan to, you know, we'll identify resources, available resources, and put together a work plan to begin that process. The first thing we have to do, though, is we are going to have to come up with a process or a procedure or policy, basin plan amendment, that will define how we determine or make the determination that a basin is impaired. We don't have that yet. No one in the state has that. Other regions are waiting to see what we do. They're interested in that. We've checked the state board. State board does not want to adopt a statewide procedure for making that declaration, and I suspect that will be a multi-year effort to do that, because it has to pass sufficient legal test to ensure that if it's challenged in court, that we win. So that's going to take us a little bit of time and effort to put together that procedure or policy.
So you're referring to a multi-year time frame for getting the basin plan amended.
Yes.
And having that go through.
Yes.
OAL.
Yes.
Okay.
Because just if you look, and when I was at the state board, if you just look at the noticing requirements for basin plan amendments, you're almost looking at a year by the time you do the standard noticing and board meetings and all that. So okay. It's not a quick process.
Okay. Mr. Cole, do you know if there's enough information right now for you to come up with a determination whether the basin is threatened or impaired in the Los Olivos area? In other words, have you had a chance to look at all the available data? Yeah, Does that seem sufficient for you?
I did go down and review the county records the last couple weeks, and there are impaired wells. Again, the loading, they're already implementing management actions. I think we have enough information to say something about the greater Alamo Pintado groundwater basin, and I would recommend that we approach it on a basin-wide level rather than designate Los Olivos, Janin Acres, Ballard as three separate efforts because they're all in the same drainage. There is data. The only reason I hesitated a little bit is it depends on what process we actually adopt. We have developed a draft process, but it's only internal and hasn't been vetted yet, and it parallels somewhat what the 303D listing process does with the number of samples and exceedances and things like that. And we're trying to look at a process that's already been established because, just as Mr. Harris said, it has to pass legal muster and it has to be quantifiable, approvable, and defensible.
So Howard can qualitatively say that a basin is impaired, but we can't trigger the, if you approve this LAMP today, tomorrow or Monday, Howard cannot declare a basin impaired because there's no process in place. We can't invoke or trigger that language in Santa Barbara County's LAMP until we have that process in place.
Okay.
We could ask the county, we could say, you know, we think this is based on the data that you should be addressing it. We'd like you to get started, at this point they could say, no, we're not ready to do that yet.
Okay. And by process, you're just referring to what criteria you're going to use to do the designation.
There has to be a, if you look at the 303D listing policy,
right,
it sets forth things like the number of samples, spatial temporal distribution, right, QAQC requirements of the data. Okay. Then there has to be a staff analysis. It's all laid out. Okay. There's statistical measurements and tests that have to be done.
And that's what the basin plan amendment will cover.
Right. But you have decided it will be a basin plan amendment as the vehicle.
Right. That basin plan amendment will essentially create the policy that we use
throughout the region.
Right.
Okay. And Mr. Harris, have you heard from the state board whether they would concur with us going through a basin plan amendment? Has anyone?
Yeah, we checked. The chair and I had discussions with the executive director, and they had internal discussions, decided they did not want to pursue this on a statewide basis, and gave us the green light to move ahead on a regional level.
Okay. All right. A seepage pit, is that the same as a dry well?
Yes.
Okay. And a cesspool is no septic tank.
It's
your
gross.
Waste just goes right into a hole in the ground.
Exactly.
Okay.
A lot of times they're brick lined, so the wastewater can seep out through holes in the bricks.
Okay. Is there a lower limit on the on a parcel size under tier one?
Under tier one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tier one actually uses rainfall to determine, and most of Santa Barbara is in the 15 to 20 inch per range, and that would require a minimum parcel size of 2 to 2.5 acres.
Okay, but then with this LAMP, they can go down to a smaller size.
Correct.
How small can they go? Is there a lower limit?
Well, the limit would be what the parcel could accept in terms of wastewater. So that's a difficult question to answer, because if you're in sand and you have treatment, you could get down to a much smaller lot than if you were in clay and you had treatment because of your perk rate. So it's really a function of the geology of the parcel. And then, of course, the slope of the parcel and its proximity to a water course. So we have lots of different variables that you have to look at. It's not strictly parcel size. We have 2.5 acre parcels that are not buildable because they're too close, you know, a stream cuts through it and they don't have enough separation from shallow groundwater, and even with supplemental treatment, it would be not an appropriate place for on-site wastewater disposal.
So it's site-specific.
Site-specific, okay.
Site-specific.
So theoretically, there's no smallest size. It's just based on the criteria, site-specific criteria, slope, soil size, things
like
that.
And the type of system you're going to use, whatever the setting allows you to use.
Okay. And then, Mr. Colby, you had mentioned Mission Canyon and then Hope Ranch.
Yes.
And I didn't think Hope Ranch was at all controlled by the city of Santa Barbara's.
I believe it is, but correct me if I'm wrong. Am I wrong? I'm wrong. You're in the county. What I meant is it is a pocket within the city that is on septic.
Okay. It's a pocket in the county.
Yeah.
It's on septic.
Well, isn't Hope Ranch surrounded by...
Yeah, but it's not in the city boundary.
Okay.
It's part of the county.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's all septic.
How do you know about Hope Ranch?
I live next door to it.
Is the water highly degraded there?
No comment.
Okay. Howard, thank you.
You're welcome.
The work you've done on this, and I want to thank Mr. Fay. He may not be coming up here to speak if we don't have any questions for him, but county staff was great to work with, and to get all these issues kind of worked out. And I know that Heal the Ocean was involved, kind of pushing and prodding as it does constantly, and I think we have a pretty good product here that we're going to be able to use throughout the region. So. And we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Okay. So thank you, Mr. Young. And a couple of administrative questions and then a couple of other more general. There's quite a bit of timetable-based actional items between the Section 1 to Section 9, Tier 1 to Tier 0, et cetera. You don't have a summary showing what has to be done monthly, and I'm not asking for it now, but I assume, there is a checklist about this needs to be done on a monthly basis, this needs to be done a quarterly, this isn't an annual. Looks like there's a lot of reporting part of this program.
Yeah, but there's only an annual report to the Water Board and then one report every 5 years.
But that report includes items that are done, monthly in some instances.
Oh, yeah, by the county? Yeah.
Yeah. So then my question, it looked like it's fairly voluminous what you're going to get. Are we moving to electronic submittal, or this is going to be, a three-ring binder with 500 pages?
I hope it's electronic submittal. It is required to be submitted electronically, and if the board approves it today, which I hope, that's discussion I've already had with the county. What's the report going to look like? How is the county going to report? I went down and met with David Brumman and Paul Jensen to go through their septic tank pumpers reports, and we're starting to look at how the county can mine that and what kind of information they can provide and how we're going to use that. So it's a dynamic process. We don't know exactly. We have had a program in Santa Cruz County for the last 20 years, and I hope to lean on them a little bit in terms of how they track it and get the two counties together and see if we can come up with a more standardized approach that all the counties can use. One of the issues with the lamps is it's kind of wide open. It says develop a lamp. So we could potentially end up with 7 completely different lamps from 7 different local agencies. And there's 40 non-county areas in the region that I've identified so far. So we could potentially end up with very different plans. But my goal moving forward now, I've been going to TAC meetings, I'm talking to the local agencies that are developing these, and I'm trying to get more consistency. We're having dialogue with other regions, and then this reporting I hope to have consistent from all the
participants. Because where I'm getting at is that, you know, statewide and also within our agency here, the trend is to become more, you know, electronic-based and web-based and pulp and paper, not just to make our job easier, but also then is the availability of being able to mine information, which you cannot do with a three-ring binder. So being a new program, you know, personally, what I really, really would like to see us is to spend the time in deciding how we're going to put all of this information together. Because once we set precedent with Santa Barbara, you know, if we're going to talk to another county, since this is going to be applicable to our entire region, you know, we basically want to have a very good set of guidelines on how we expect the information to be delivered, and allowing us to be able to manipulate the data. You know, particularly as we're talking about making decisions associated with degradation and impairment of basins, unless we're able to, you know, take the wells information and move things around and establish some trending, it would be very difficult. So I, you know, from an administrative standpoint, you know, I would strongly encourage that, including, you know, in making sure with Mr. Harris that, you know, we develop a good approach for this program. In regard to the yes,
could I
please
comment?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm Chris Adair. I'm the program manager for WDRs. We had a meeting last week, statewide roundtable meeting, and discussed the use of GeoTracker as a repository for data from WDR program in general, but more specifically to our newer adopted, things like the LAMP, where we're getting actual data into as what's called EDF, electronic data submittal, mm-hmm. Where we can do what you're saying, where we can take those data and graph them up, look at them. Rather than having, I mean, even some of our submittals now are electronic, but they're PDF. And we've talked about, we've talked to the board about this before, about having real data in real time that we can use to inform not only the discharger, but ourselves and the board.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, PDF file just give you a warm, fuzzy feeling that, you know, you're getting something electronically rather than on paper, but it doesn't do a whole lot.
It saves
help
the
you.
Paper, but that's
yeah,
about it.
That's it. So anyway, I know it sounds like small administrative minutia, but I think it's very important.
It's a game changer.
Yes.
And it takes a little more effort. Mm-hmm. It takes possibly the involvement of a laboratory, and some of these smaller entities it's going to have a cost involved with it. And so we're treading kind of lightly, but that's the direction we want to go.
So what Mr. Adair is not telling you is this discussion has been going on for about 10 years. So Region 4, for example, has been kind of the pilot region for collecting WDR data via GeoTracker, and it's just one of those discussions for whatever reason seems to be taking a long time at the state level.
Well,
and
but
it's not just this program, it's a lot of our programs.
Well, that's true, but you know, since the executive director of the State Water Board told us you're on your own, and we agree with you pursuing this program, I think it behooves us to take then a lead role, not only in how we establish the LAMP and administer the LAMP, but also how the information, you know, gets delivered to us.
We can certainly do everything you said up to the point of modifying the system that might be necessary to accept the data.
Well,
and that's the purview of the State Board, and I know that this board over the last couple of years we've had a couple of issues with that, and I think you in particular know the frustrations in regard to that, and that will take, I think, a concerted effort on part of the other regional boards, not just the staff. So it needs coordination not only from our staff but with the other 8 regional boards, and then I think a concerted effort on part of the board members to make the push at State Board to allocate the very limited contract funds to make those changes to GeoTracker.
Well, we have a window of opportunity because next year at one of our first monthly chair call, it's going to be a 3-hour call instead of 1 hour, and it's going to be dedicated at prioritizing budget items where we can use commonalities of needs between the regions. And so I would see this being a perfect opportunity, you know, to bring up.
So maybe what we should do is set up a time where Chris and you and I be prior to that meeting so that Chris can brief you and educate you on the issues, so that if you're going to promote this at that meeting, mm-hmm. you'll be fully
because
fully
one of the things, you know, as you mentioned, the last 10 years is efforts, but you know, as region we all have in the past operated, you know, extremely autonomously and have not necessarily cross-exchanged information about common needs. So we're trying to do that now, and so that's why we regions requested to the State Board to be part of a budgeting process on items that impact our regions. And so I think this would be a great opportunity, and then all the, you know, all the support you can give to leverage a little bit more a stronger voice, you know, will be appreciated. So anyway, I think that's a good outcome of our discussion here. Yes, Jessica.
So if we're looking at this, the LAMP in particular, on page 61 of 156 on their actual LAMP, it talks about the annual reporting. And it says that they will be using their Environs database, which is their electronic means of tracking, to create the annual and then the 5-year database. So we can work with them on a way to go from their databases to our databases in a usable electronic format.
Mm-hmm. Okay, as long as we're moving in that direction. And Mr. Harris, you were personally involved with helping statewide policy on on-site wastewater treatment facilities, and we talked about, I think it was Mayor Delgado was asking questions about, you know, some of the technologies available, etc. Do we have a mechanism with our staff still meeting with State Board in basically making sure that one, you know, our regional policy is consistent with a statewide policy, which we adopted 2 years ago, and also are on a statewide basis, are there any efforts to maybe look at approval of newer on-site treatment technologies?
So the package plants are all going to be performance-based, so it doesn't matter if it's, you know, what it looks like, what it does, as long as what the effluent comes out meets the whatever specifications we, just like what we do now with permits for wastewater treatment plants.
Yeah, so we don't tell them how to
no.
do it, we just say this no. is the results we want.
That's
get
right.
it.
And the first part of your question, can you repeat the first question?
You had mentioned that you participate at statewide meetings.
Correct.
And maybe I missed part of your statement, but these statewide meetings, they relate to on-site treatment challenges or?
Yeah, I've been participating in two groups. One is a county-driven, where any county that is developing a LAMP can participate in this. It's spearheaded by Santa Cruz and Santa Clara County, I believe. And sometimes there's as many as 20 or 30 different counties. Sometimes there's only four or five, so mm-hmm. it fluctuates. So I'm just there sort of as a information resource. And then I've sat in on a couple round tables, one round table, and I'll be sitting in on another one in December where they're discussing specifically the impaired groundwater policy that we have, or our language that we have in our LAMP with Santa Barbara County.
Okay. And then, you know, supporting an answer you gave in regard to a question from Mr. Young, associated with a region-wide basin plan amendment, I think that a key is definitely going to have a very rigorous process in place on how we're going to identify degraded or impaired basins, because you know, I forgot how many counties are within our region. How many counties are within our region?
Seven primary.
And seven,
we have
and then
little
bits
of pieces.
Yeah. So you know, it's going to clearly impact multiple counties. So we need to make sure that we don't have a, you know, Santa Barbara hybrid that may not necessarily then become a consistent process to the other counties, and so that I think that's very important, because Santa Barbara has been, I think, very progressive in working with us on this LAMP. But
so I think that I think Mr. Fay and his staff have done a wonderful job, and they deserve a tremendous amount of credit. Theirs is kind of, right now, I'd say theirs is kind of the Cadillac out there, and whether or not, you know, you might end up getting some Chevys, and they may be approvable, you know, from our staff standpoint. We may recommend that you approve them. I think our goal is to, one, I think at a minimum, the requirement is to ensure that the impaired basin or area language is going to be required or should be required in all of them. But other aspects of the policy. I mean, if I was, and you know, this is very political. As you said, I managed the effort to develop the original the OTS policy at the state level. And I know that others who were involved can tell you how political developing that policy was, and the level of compromise. People look at it and say, "Well, there's not much in here. You didn't do much." Well, I can tell you there was a tremendous amount of compromise that occurred to get that policy through the state process. So it's those people who are working at the local level and the county level, I'm sure they have their hands full. And we want to see the very best product we can from them, but there may need to be some level of compromise on our part also to ensure that we can get all the counties through the adoption mm-hmm. process. This is not the end, as Mr. Kolb said, this is just the beginning, and I think it's a tremendous leap forward compared to what we had in the past. So,
well, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, going to be a Cadillac or a Chevy, as long as the software used for the emission control hasn't been tricked.
You should know, Mr. Chair.
Yes, that's why I said that. And I know you were looking at me when you made that comment. So I have just one final question for you, and I have my own answer to it. What do you consider the greatest strength to the LAMP program? And don't tell me it's a profound question.
I think the greatest strength is that it gives the county the latitude to manage on-site wastewater for the protection of water quality, and it gives them they have the regulatory authority. They have a process where if they approve something and it doesn't work, they can go back and fix it. Or if somebody has something that needs to be repaired, and let's suppose it was a conventional system, but it really you know, it's a lot of record from a long time ago, and it really can't support that anymore. It gives them the avenue to approve the installation of an alternative system to protect water quality and beneficial uses. And that, to me, is it's really cool.
Yeah.
I think that the strength of the LAMP is we had a conversation with Mr. Fay, and I think there are other health directors who are not happy with Santa Barbara at what they've adopted, because it has put the bar so high up they now have to, they're not sure, I bet, whether or not they can measure up to what Santa Barbara has done. So I think it's really a very, very good product.
Yeah, and, you know, my answer to my own question is, and once in a while you have questions and you have your own answers, you know, so that's okay. But what I have seen, and I think Mr. Young, as being geographically closer to Santa Barbara, is a little bit closer to the pulse of what happens in Santa Barbara. But from my observations at meetings attended, including you, Mr. Young, when we met together and discussed the LAMP, you know, I felt there was a very strong collaborative effort in putting this program together, which is quite candidly a little different sometimes than programs that we have where, you know, people are very resistant. So I think that's part of the LAMP success here, is that this is done with support from the county as well. So thank you, and Mr. Young.
One last question and a statement. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Harris, as we go forward, I just want staff to know how I feel about any pushback that we might get with the other counties. As far as I'm concerned, as a single board member, where we may have threats to water quality from many existing systems, I'm going to be pushing for a LAMP that's going to be fully protective of water quality. And I appreciate what Santa Barbara County did, and I like having a nice high bar, because that's what we are as part of the Environmental Protection Agency for the state of California. So that's what our job is. I think anticipating some pushback, you know, we'll meet like we did with Santa Barbara County if we need board members and yourself and the chair to go to those counties and to do presentations and to talk and express our concerns. You know, we'll do it. You know, we'll do it to make it work. But I don't want anyone to think that a Chevy means we're going to designate
absolutely not
groundwater basins as impaired or threatened.
Absolutely not. I mean, a Chevy and a Cadillac get you to the same destination. It's okay. Just the all the extra bells and whistles that might be on it.
Okay.
And the emission standards are met. So, okay. Does the county has any presentation to give? You know, I do have speaker cards, but certainly, you know, if you, you know, this.
Are we on?
We're good.
Okay. Yep. Chairman Wolf, members of the board, my name's Larry Fay. I'm Environmental Health Director, Santa Barbara County Environmental Health Services. You all know me. I've been here a couple of times. I didn't bring prepared comments. I did put in a speaker card, but this is sort of an invitation to circumvent that process just a little bit, I think.
Yes.
First, I'd like to say how happy we are to be here today with you reviewing and considering the LAMP that we've worked a long time on preparing. For Santa Barbara County, and I think for the state in general, these, irrespective of whether we've gone as far as some folks would like, these are game changers for us. It's a significant departure from the historic way that we've treated on-site sewage systems. It's moving us into a world of looking down the road and actually dealing and addressing system failures that were not traditionally classified as failures. It puts us in a position of being able to upgrade systems in situations we hadn't in the past. It really moves us into a world of assuring ongoing operation and maintenance of those systems that involve complex technologies. And I think, and a couple things I would like to say about this process. Number one is, our staff, I think, and Howard can back this up, have long enjoyed a good and cooperative and coordinated working relationship with the regional board staff on on-site sewage issues. And even though there are lots of things that folks would have liked to have seen happen in Santa Barbara County, I think Santa Barbara County has long been a leader in the state, even though we haven't often gone as far as we would like to or others would have liked us to do. The big change for us has been the adoption of the state policy. So you talked about the strength of our LAMP. I would say two things. One is it's backed by state policy. So the underpinning of our LAMP and our regulation is embodied in the state policy. The second, and I think this is really significant, is the introducing the concept of the advanced groundwater protection plans, the identification of impaired basins, the commitment to creating a plan. What that single paragraph in our LAMP does, I think, is establish as policy that's been adopted by our Board of Supervisors, and I hope by you, this ongoing relationship and partnership we have with the regional board to identify those areas that have been impaired and the commitment on the part of the county to develop a plan that addresses the impairment that has to pass muster of the staff and the board of the regional regional board. So that is an ongoing commitment. And what I've said to our local folks is the LAMP is not intended to be a static document. As we gain experience both in the implementation of the LAMP and we identify those areas and we try things, some that work, some that don't work, we can go back and tweak and adjust as needed. And that's the commitment we have, at least as a department, as a staff, in taking this process forward. Gosh, I could go on and on and on, but I think I'll leave it go at that. I think there was a sense that we were bumping heads at times, and this process has not been completely smooth as we've updated the board, but I think throughout it has been collaborative, and I think we were very successful in addressing. I think we were working towards the same goals from the get-go. I think the tweaking the final details has made it a very strong document and plan for us, and I think for the regional board. So I'm very optimistic about where we're going with this. I do have David Brumman and Paul Jensen here with me today. So if we have questions specific to Santa Barbara County, we'd be glad to entertain those. For them, this has been more of a 15-year process. They actually started working on this back in and around 2000. When did 885 pass? 2001?
It was 2000 or 2000.
2001. They actually started in anticipation of the upcoming state policy, started working on the local codes and standards. They were never adopted because it was always a moving target. Again, 885 with final adoption state policy created the backstop for us to actually be able to move forward. We're not first. We wanted to be first. San Diego beat us, but I do think that, I don't know about the Cadillac analogy. I'm actually driving an 88 Volvo, but it does meet emission standards. So, but we're real, at least to pass the last emissions test. But we're just really happy to be here where we are, and I think we've done a really good job with it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You know, just a little bit of history. You know this, I went to the very first meeting in 1999 before the bill was adopted.
Yes.
This whole process started with Malibu. It was Malibu focused, and then it was expanded through Hannabeth Jackson's bills statewide in 2000. It was actually 2000 when the bill was passed. So, yeah, it's taken a while to get where we're going, but I think in the end, I think what we've ended up with, the product overall and the strategy overall is really very good.
Thank you. And I have a couple of speaker cards, and then after that I'll do a quick little roundup with my fellow board members for any additional questions and comments before we bring this to a vote. So I will start with Ms. Hillary Hauser.
Thank you, Chair Wolf, members of the board. This is a great day. Hillary Hauser from Heal the Ocean. A little background. In 2011, Heal the Ocean and Heal the Bay filed a friendly lawsuit to the state board to get AVA 5 off the shelf and get the regulations made. And then we participated in all the stakeholder meetings in Sacramento that were led by Mr. Harris and working on word by word by word, and then got it passed in 2012. We all agreed. And then we participated for the year-long process in the county to develop the LAMP. And so we've been yelling and screaming a lot, and I thank you for listening to us and county EHS for listening to us, because along the way, I'm sure we insulted everybody. But having gone through the RINCON and all of that, we wanted a strong piece of paper that would help us in moments of distress. And so in response to Board Member Johnson's comments and Mr. Delgado, we really wanted to just adopt the Cuesta study and say, this area is bad, this area is bad, you guys are out of here. And so, okay, we didn't get that. However, I want to thank the board for listening to us when we protested what we thought was a weak document, and I think it led to the Advanced Groundwater Protection Plan. I appreciate the board's input back to the county to strengthen that, and I appreciate EHS for working with that. And on the question of Los Olivos, I have to say already this LAMP, just the talk of this LAMP, has made a few quivering boots in Los Olivos. And so Heal the Ocean is working with the Santa Ynez Community Service District. Jeff Hodge, manager, is here to make inroads into the Los Olivos community. Are you interested or are you not? Are you interested in talking about this? And we had an enormous response of people that want to get rid of their septic system problems and hook to sewer. So the Santa Ynez Community Service District is moving forward on sphere of influence. We're Heal the Ocean is working closely with the district about looking at funding possibilities. We thank Environmental Health Service for coming forward with engineering funding for an area of Santa Ynez that's got nitrate problem that is very dense, and so forth. So we already see the LAMP working, and so we want to just thank you. And the one last thing, at the very last minute, when you were talking about the process by which you can declare a groundwater impaired, Mr. Cole, Mr. Adair met with us, your staff and your director, a number of times. We said, how, you put a number on this, we want to know when. I mean, is this, are we all gonna be dead and gone? And so we had productive conversations, and I'm proud to say that this language in the resolution, the very last sentence, we asked to be put in that the resolution expresses its intention to develop and implement a process to designate groundwater bodies as impaired or significantly degraded. We wanted to get that in writing, that that is the intent. We tried to have January 2016 as the date that it would all be done. But we're glad that this language is in here, and we're looking forward to working with EHS and with Howard Kolb and with the regional board and moving forward on areas we know need help. Thank you.
Yeah, I wasn't. You know, I never noticed that patient traits were part of your makeup.
Thank you for that. In the County Board of Supervisors, Supervisor Janet Wolf says, I represent patience itself, which is, always gets a big laugh.
So, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. And my little box is working, but I don't think... the buzzer works there.
Connection
Yeah, mine was working, but the light was not coming on your side. So we have one more speaker card from Mr. Jeff Hodge.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm Jeff Hodge, the general manager for the San Ynez Community Service District, and wanted to voice my support and congratulations that, yes, this policy, having not even been enacted here yet, as Hillary has pointed out, has already had some very positive impacts and allowed me as a manager and my board to move forward with the annexation process of an area of San Ynez that's these smaller parcels under the 2.5 acres, about 525 of them, you know, that we will be moving forward with to plan, help with the help of EHS, the collection system to collect that. And then hopefully in the very near future, we just got our approval the other day for the facility's feasibility study for a reuse plant. So rather than just, you know, taking care of one problem, hopefully taking care of two problems with capturing the nutrients and the other aspects of the discharges and then recycling the water back to other beneficial use within the area. Very glad to see Paul Jansen here today. 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to speak with him on the phone. He put me in touch with Hillary and then back working with his office on how to move forward with getting the funding through EHS and then now working with Howard to at a local level to enact that, and I'm greatly appreciative of that. That does a huge huge service for me when I have that support of the regional board to have someone lean on as I move forward doing the job that my board myself is tasked with, and that's to ensure those basins do not become impaired. As was pointed out there, I know that we would prefer to take care of these problems before that canary in the coal mine, as Howard put it, shows up. You know, and once again, working with the regional and the state boards, having the opportunity to get some of that funding to move forward with taking care of this problem. Do encourage you to update the basin plan, and as one that would be regulated by that with the coming groundwater, having been part of other places with a 208 planning aspect of this in other states, would encourage to think about utilizing the local resources, the local management staffs of with the groundwater, both water and wastewater on that to help craft those. Once again, my whole career in this has been a lot with MPDS. It's always taken the E part very, very important, the elimination of these discharges. And with the resources that both the state and the regional board has given us, that's provided us with the funding to do this. And look forward to taking hopefully upwards of 1,000 of these on-site systems, or potentially the need to upgrade on-site system into a centralized system, hopefully freeing up the additional resources for the county to move forward with the outlying parcels. So once again, greatly appreciate you moving forward with this and everyone else's support on this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. All right, so we covered the speaker cards for this item. So do we have any other question from my fellow board members?
Yes. I have one comment, if that's
yes.
appropriate.
Yes, of course.
Brief. You know, I have to say when I first reviewed the documents in preparation for this meeting, I was kind of disappointed that some of the areas that everybody knows have groundwater problems related to on-site wastewater treatment systems were not being specifically addressed in the LAMP, and that we were instead kind of pushing it off to this other process. Upon reflection, I'm tending to view that as actually a positive, because I think that had they been specifically addressed in the plan, as opposed to us developing a basin plan amendment that sets forth a process for us to designate impaired groundwater due to on-site wastewater treatment systems, you know, we would have maybe moved more quickly. It would have generated maybe more quick resolution in places like Los Olivos. But I think the path that we're taking gives us the tools to deal on a region-wide basis rather than just in a Santa Barbara County basis. And I think that's a really positive impact. So, on reflection, I think that the approach that staff has developed is really a wiser choice.
Thank you. Mayor Delgado? Mr. Young?
I'd like to make a motion.
All right. Motion from Mr. Young. That any?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
I didn't make the motion yet.
Oh, I thought you said you made the motion.
No, I said I'd like to make a motion.
Well, but I like the fact that you like to make a motion, so.
I move that we adopt resolution number R3-2015-0037 as proposed.
Well, if that's the motion, I'm not going to second it. Second.
It does seem appropriate that Mr. Young would have the honor of making the motion to approve the lamp.
Well, that's why I said I like the fact that you'd like to make a motion.
Okay.
But, certainly I want to thank you for your personal efforts also that you've done in Santa Barbara in regard to this area and attending meetings with the county and so. You know, personally, I appreciate your efforts.
Thank you, and that's what we should be doing, in my opinion, to try to get these things done. Sometimes we got to go a little, take some extra steps, but, we get paid the big bucks.
I know it's not my role, but I'll look to Mr. Johnson to amend his motion that maybe we should add language to the resolution that requires Mr. Young's septic to be inspected the very first one.
I would, but it's not my motion. It's Mr. Young's motion, so he would have to accept that as a friendly amendment.
And that then would be showing masochistic trends.
Anytime.
So, yes.
I've got a new dry well, and it is functioning beautifully.
And Mayor Delgado?
Just want to say thank you to the county and all the others, agency personnel that were involved and our staff and board and leadership in the water board. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate all that work.
Thank you. So we had a motion from Mr. Young. Yes, so now we're going to put this to a vote since I don't see any more comments. So would you please make roll call?
Dr. Wolf?
Yes.
Mr. Delgado?
Yes.
Mr. Johnston?
Yes.
Mr. Young?
Yes.
Thank you.
So, okay. There motion we go. Carried. Thank you, everyone. And we will take now a 15-minute break before moving to the next item and reconvene at 10 to 11. Thank you.